Amazing grace. Wow. What would we do without it? I would like you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. As many of you know, and I said earlier, my very close friend and former pastor passed away here this week. And it's been a rough week, and I just can't imagine what the family is dealing with, and my heart breaks for them, and I've been praying for them. But my mind this week has been spinning through conversations and memories I've had with him. And as I was considering what to preach on this Sunday, I was looking through my list of bookmarked pages in my different Bibles I have and different notes on the computer, and started going through the PowerPoint outlines that Jimmy sent me over the years. And one of them popped out at me. And so I decided that today I'm preaching one of his sermons in his memory. And I felt like it was very fitting for this week because the title he gave it was Five Keys to Revival. And so I decided to preach this outline exactly as he sent it to me and preach it in his honor. And I can just about hear him tell me, "Get them all saved, brother." Or something to those effect. I'm not, it depends. Whatever corny saying or remark he had, he usually had a good one. They did share a story I heard at his funeral yesterday that he was in fourth grade, was it? Something like that. And he got an F on one of his science tests or something. And apparently they sent the test results home and he didn't know his dad had them. And he got home and his dad told him he needed to sit down and talk, and he said, "You want to explain the test results?" And he told him, well, he was distracted because his teacher was so ugly she made a freight train take a dirt road. Do you have that happen in school, Dean? I have a feeling it happened to you a lot probably in school. Anyway, we're approaching revival services this coming Sunday. And in times past, revival meant something different than it does now. I don't know how it was here at Montgomery, but at my home church, revival services were the best attended services of the year. Better than Sunday morning. Many times our church was packed, and I remember 150, 175 people being at our church. I was young, so maybe I'm thinking smallish terms and old people were big. I don't know, but it felt like it was a pretty full crowd. But now, as it seems with all of life, commitment's gone. Especially in this subject when it comes to revival. And I hope you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not being harsh. I'm just stating facts. We struggle to get 40 people out on a night service to revival. Sunday morning isn't any better attended than any other Sunday morning. And I understand that. I mean, you're coming to hear me preach. I can understand there's more. I mean, I get that sarcasm there. But I wonder what has changed. Is revival any more important than any other service? I don't have the answer to that. But I do have an answer to why it's changed. And I'm pretty sure I'm right. We're not putting in, so therefore we're not getting out. So that, with that being said, I want to look at our text, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I'm sure we could just about all quote it. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." I want to share with you five keys to revival and then the result of using those five keys properly. The first key is revival begins with renewed loyalty to a person. And notice in the beginning phrase of our text, my people called by my name. If you look up revival in the dictionary, there's various definitions, but if you look up the one that pertains to spiritual things, it'll say it's a renewed fervor for the things of God, a renewed dedication when it comes to spiritual things. And this whole concept of having revival, it needs to start with knowing where our loyalty lies. And we need a new and a fresh loyalty to God. Now, I will say this, in today's society, loyalty is not lacking, especially when it comes to non-spiritual things. People do all kinds of crazy things to show their support to their favorite sports team. And I've seen numerous times, on when you're watching a game on TV or YouTube or whatever, they'll show these clips or scenes where these guys are up in the stands, shirtless, and they have one letter of their team name painted on their chest. And depending on how big the team name is, depends on how many guys you needed for the sign. You won't catch me doing that. I mean, that'd be humiliating. But they felt like that was pretty important to do. They're loyal. Go to a sports event and look at how mad people get at the refs when they make a call against their team. Sometimes it gets violent. What about politics? Do I need to say anything there? Loyalty to a party, regardless of what they're promoting, if it's getting out of hand, as long as they're my party, then I'm going to support them no matter how they act or what they promote. And that seems to be the case today. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. What about loyalty to a brand of vehicle? Everyone knows I could care less what I drive, right? I figured you'd agree with me. Joe and I were discussing that yesterday. All right. John Deere, I mean, it's the best. I was talking to Jason about that a little bit ago. He's fanatical about it. Josh, what's John Deere? Did you hear? John Deere's junk. So I guess you know where they stand. But my point is, you don't have to look very far to find loyalty today. But my question is, how loyal are we to God? Look at that phrase. Do you consider yourself part of His people? Do you bear His name? Are you part of that My people that are called by My name? There is no way a revival can start and even begin to happen if we aren't loyal to the one and only one who can bring it. How can a person be revived and renewed in their fervor for God when they aren't even showing loyalty in the first place? So ask yourself, am I loyal to my Savior? And then second, revival can only happen when we depart from pride. The second phrase in that text, humble themselves. If the people of God who are loyal to Him will humble themselves. It's interesting, we had this discussion Wednesday night on this subject. Basically, the subject was we're casting our cares on Him. You know, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. But a couple verses before that, it talks about being humble. And it takes great humility to recognize, I can't do it on my own. I have to cast it on Him. I think especially in America, but I do believe this is a common human problem, we don't need anyone's help. We can do it by ourselves. And you know what that's saying? We think pretty big of ourselves. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia. The moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China and then presented him as our illustrious guest. Taylor stood quietly for a moment, then opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." Have you ever considered how big you are next to God? Have you ever considered how strong you are next to His might and power? We are absolutely nothing without Him. I don't care if you believe in Him or not. You're still nothing without Him because He made you. So if this subject of revival is to be taken seriously, then we need to humble ourselves and realize it's not going to be us that brings it. It's only God. Oh, the speaker that's coming, we may have a lot of confidence in him, and you don't need to tell him I said that. Or he may be very gifted, very eloquent, but it doesn't matter. Because if we don't realize that God alone brings revival, then it's not going to happen because we're too focused on ourselves. And you know what else takes humility? Admitting that we might have an issue that needs taken care of. Admitting we're wrong, especially is humbling when it's something that is displeasing to the Lord. So to truly have revival, we need to humble ourselves enough to ask the Lord to reveal what might need to be fixed in our own spirits, which leads us to our next point, and that is prayer is critical to revival. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray. If we get the first two right and then neglect the third part, forget it. It's not going to happen. I want you to think for a moment about something, and I am not a person that likes to hear this talk about, oh, back in the good old days and back when things really were good, and yeah, granted, there might have been some things that were better back then. I can recognize that because things are confusing and rough now. But years ago, when there was these big revivals and massive tent meetings and great moves of God, what was the key component to those events? It was prayer. People for weeks, possibly months, maybe even years, prior to an event they knew was coming, on their faces before God, praying that God would move. And I know you've heard those stories too. What's the difference today? We don't have the time. We don't have the time to pray. Now, there's something pretty wrong about that picture. Do we really want to sacrifice the time that is needed to spend it in prayer? I got other things I need done. And I'm asking myself these questions. How willing am I to spend time praying about the revival for others, but really for me? Because it needs to start with me. See, we back up to the last point, which is humility. Am I humble enough to pray for myself and not worry about others? You know, it takes humility to recognize we're flawed and admit it and ask for help. What if someone finds out that I got something going on in my life and it needs corrected? What if they lose confidence in me? Don't worry about it. Only worry about pleasing God, and as Peter says, He will exalt you in due time, which was also our Wednesday night discussion. Think. So to be clear, people actually, just in case you're wondering, people actually gain confidence and respect for someone who is open enough to admit their failing. So I'm encouraging all of us, let's spend extra time in prayer leading up to this revival. We might just find out that we have things to correct. Imagine that. God might show us something we need to work on. And then fourth, priorities must be reorganized to see revival. So look at the next phrase, and seek my face. And what exactly does that mean? There's other places in Scripture. One such place is Psalms 27:8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, my face, Lord, will I seek. And we don't really use that phrase today. I'm seeking your face. I mean, we may use it in spiritual circles, but it's really not a common phrase. But if we wanted to use it in our language, we would say, I want to learn more about you, God. I want to dig deeper. I want to grow in my knowledge. seeking more of you. There's a simple chorus that says, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is just more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Ask yourself, do I really want to know him better? I mean, really, do you want to know God better? You really want to do that? Do I want to know more of him? That's where the subject of priorities comes in. We're so busy, busy, busy in this life that we don't have time for God, and I mentioned that earlier. So let me ask you, in your life, who or what has first place? And do you know how you figure that out? What gets done first? What is most important? Do you spend time with God, or do you read your book or watch a movie? Do you have another event or activity that is more important than church? Is your friend's approval more important to you than God's? And see, if we have our priorities in the right place, then seeking after God and desiring more of him, that'll be first on our list. Other activities and interests will come in second, third, and fourth. And I'll tell you, every time I talk about those things, I'm thinking, okay, I really quickly could pick up my tablet and watch a movie. And no, I wouldn't pick up a book and read that necessarily. Gary knows what I mean there. But there are things that we would quickly do before we spend time with God. You have to understand that for me, prayer and Bible study are things that would be shirked if I was to do something else. I can't skip church. I'm not allowed to do that. I would not, you know, it's part of my job. It's like you not showing up for work. It just doesn't work that way. But really, to put this simply, revival will not come until God is first place in our lives. And then fifth, the problem of sin must be dealt with for revival to come. And that final command, and turn from their wicked ways. That's where the humility factor really comes in. What if God asks us to correct something in our life? Are we willing to admit that it is a wicked way? Because that sounds like a really harsh term. Would you say something the Lord showed you to correct is a wicked way? No, I wasn't that bad, right? But think of it this way. If there is something in your life that's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be, if there's something that's keeping you from obeying him completely, something that's not benefiting you spiritually, it is in fact turning you away, which is a wicked thing. God doesn't categorize sins. We do that. So when we see wicked ways, we see it in our terms. We see different grades of sins. But anything that's keeping us from God in his eyes is wicked. So therefore, humbling ourselves and being willing to turn from whatever it is that's keeping us from having that full, vibrant relationship with him, that will bring revival. But you ask, how will that bring revival to others if it's me that's changing? Well, guess what? If everyone worried about the other person changing, nobody would. So when revival was to come, we only need to think of ourselves and us doing the changing. And if everybody has that mindset, then it will come. Because what is revival? Again, it's a fresh renewal of the fervor of the things of God. And we can't get that for someone else. We just get that for ourselves. So is there something that's keeping me from having that in my heart and life? Then I need to turn from it. I don't need to worry about the next person. Only me. But then we get to what is the product and the result of seeking after God. The product of revival is absolutely wonderful. That final phrase in our text, it's beautiful. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. God hears. Do you know of anyone who doesn't pay attention when you speak to them? You wonder if they're hearing, much less listening. You know, there's a difference there. You can hear someone but not listen to a thing they're saying. Well, with God, that's not a problem. I share with you on different occasions how people misinterpret passages of Scripture to say that you pray for whatever you want to pray for and he'll give you whatever you're asking. Well, here is an example of what God will absolutely give us specifically if we pray for it. And if we pray that God will draw us closer to Him and help us develop a fervency for Him, a more mature relationship, He'll answer that prayer. Absolutely. I will hear. Can there be any more beautiful words spoken about God? Do you want a revival? Not for the next person, but for you. Pray about it. God will hear. Then God cleanses. I don't know about you, but for me, there's something very mesmerizing about watching something that is extremely dirty being cleaned. Just, it's the OCD germaphobe in me that just, I don't know, to see a sidewalk that is filthy from years and years of neglect being power washed and the edges all straight, or some car detailer taking a vehicle that's been crudded for 20 years and cleaning it up and making it look new. There's something very satisfying about that. There's YouTube movies of it if you want to see them. But to experience that heart cleansing that only Jesus can offer, that's not just mesmerizing. That's astounding. That's amazing. It's incredible. If we're humble enough to pray and seek after God the way we should, and if we're willing to allow the Spirit's prompting to lead us and change us something in our life that maybe isn't pleasing to God or simply isn't helping us grow, then God promises He will cleanse. I don't know exactly what you're facing. I mean, I know all of you pretty well by now. But rest assured that the cleansing that Jesus offers is for everyone, even if you feel like you're pretty good already. Ask Him to show you areas in your life that need cleaned, and He promises that He will. And then God heals. Healing comes in many forms, but we all know the healing that is spoken of here is the healing of the heart. Oh yes, it says, I will heal their land, but it has to start in the heart. We've been talking about each person individually. If each one of us chooses to do exactly what this passage tells us to do, then we will receive the healing that we each individually need to have the revival that we so desperately need. But think about this. If each person in this church does this, if each person in our community does this, if each person in our state, our country, the world does this, then heal their land will definitely be a reality. And I want this. I want the healing personally in my heart and soul. And even as I was typing this and getting it ready, I wondered, do I need it? Is there something that I need healing from that I really even haven't honestly asked the Spirit to reveal to me? And I think if we were completely honest about it, we'd all say, we probably have areas in our life that we could be healed from. Little things here and there that God could help us grow in. Because we're human and we're going to have those. So don't ignore it. Ask God to heal you. Seek God and He'll show you. And this revival that we're talking about, it's way bigger than just this coming services. And I'm not trying to make these services sound light because they are important. It's not just a week of services here at Montgomery. The revival we're talking about is something that we need across the entire continent, across the globe. Saint and sinner alike, we all need revival, drawing closer to God. Now, we might not think we need it as bad as compared to someone that's completely lost, but we do. We all need it. We all need a renewed fervor of God. So seek it, and not just for this coming week. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank You so much for Your word and the incredible power that it brings. And I pray that You'll help each one of us to seek You fervently, to seek after that heart healing and the change that You want us to have, that we can be all that we can be for You. And then healing will come to our church, to the surrounding community, and to the land, if we all do what this verse tells us to do. Pray You'll bless each person and help them to feel Your presence and feel and obey Your guidance. Give each one of us a good day and help us to rejoice in You for the joy that You bring. In Your name, amen.